Alright, this is Pure Decking number 193 for Thursday. I don't know what year it is. October the 15th, 2015. I'm Morps. I am drinking the last of my Newcastle tonight. I'll have to go to the store tomorrow. But tomorrow is payday. Therefore, I can buy lots of booze. And I'll need it. Anyways, tonight we have Mad Men. Mad Men, what are you imbibing?
I'm drinking Kentucky Ale and Bacardi 151.
That doesn't seem like that would be a good mix.
They're kind of not really going together. It's a shot of one and then sipping on the other.
Yeah. So that seems like an odd combination to me. I mean, you get enough of the 151 in you, it won't matter. But
yeah, if it's the wrong proportion, though, later on I get to blow hot dog chunks and Snickers bars.
Lovely analogy. Sard, what are you drinking?
I have a new Hefeweizen here made by Polliner. Pretty good.
Cool. Are you? What are you drinking?
Coffee. Straight black coffee. I'm not getting enough sleep, so I need to stay awake during the day to try and get some more sleep at night. But I'm not sleeping during the night, so I have to drink coffee to stay awake during the day so I don't fall asleep so I can sleep through the night.
Shit is getting weird. How do you take your coffee? I mean, straight you say black. Straight black, but I mean, are you? I mean, you're not just using a standard.
It's a whole drip cup
machine,
of pure espresso, like a large cup of pure espresso.
Oh, you got an espresso machine?
Yep.
Nice.
Two of those a day. You'll think you've got Parkinson's disease by the end of the week, but
you will get your sleep schedule straightened out or die trying.
I'm dying.
So, anyways, let's start off with the discussion topic here. Now, it is involving a 3D printer, but that is not the top focus of the article. Okay, that's how I found it. I'm not going to lie, but it is not the focus. So, this is a blog post on thinkleet.co.uk or thinkl33t, and a couple of weeks ago, on one of the 3D printing forums I frequent, because you know obviously I've been playing with that, somebody posted a link to an Alibaba store page that was about $70 for a 3D printer that looked like on par with the one I built, and it's just kind of like hello, because normally a decent 3D printer kit's $300-$400, right? And it's like, there's something wrong here. This has got to be some kind of a scam. This is going to be something going on, right? But I came really close to ordering it. I mean, to the point that I was filling out my payment information. Yeah, I backed out of it, right? And I'm like, no, something's not right here. And you get that twitch, right? And so, to me, this is a really interesting scam. Because if you go look at the way Alibaba works, they don't release them. It's escrow. They don't release the money to the seller until you confirm that you've received it. Sort of like what eBay does, right? And so I don't know. Sorry, you ever bought anything on Alibaba? I know Madman and R, you probably haven't.
I was just going to ask you when you got done talking, is there anything legitimate on Alibaba? Because that's always been one of those sites where I'm like, nope.
There's tons of legitimate shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pseudoephedrine.
It's
cheap, but it takes a month to get here. That's the problem.
Yeah,
design the motors that you want if you're buying motors on Alibaba. It is an exceptionally legit site.
Technically, it's AliExpress, but I mean, it's the same company.
Yeah, no, I've never ordered anything from there because that site has always just screamed scam to me.
So, well, and some of it is. And, the trick to it is you go looking at the store. It's a lot like eBay. It's like Chinese eBay, right? But, so I'm sitting there. I'm about to order this stupid thing because it's like there's no way. And even if it's a crappy kit, it'll at least be spare parts of the current 3D printer, right? But at least that was the thinking.
Good point.
But then you go looking, and you start to notice a couple of things. And the first thing you notice is that the seller has only existed as an account for about a day and has no reviews. Well, considering how long it can take things to get from, you know, there may not be any reviews if it's legitimately a new seller, right? But that wasn't what scared me off of it. What scared me off of it was somebody posted a little bit later in the forum that they had found the link to the real version of that kit. And it was the exact same page, the exact same photos. I mean, they literally just cut and pasted the page, right? And, you know, it was actually supposed to be about $300, which is about the price you would expect for that kind of a kit. And it's like, okay. I mean, it'd be one thing if they had the same kit, but, I mean, it had the same text. It had the same poorly photoshopped photos showing their, you know, putting the printer's logo on shipping crates. You know, it had the pictures from the same conferences where they're showing off their product, right? You know, and amazed Chinese people looking on as a 3D printer does what it does. And although, to be fair, you can stare at those things for hours as they're running. They are kind of hypnotic. But hey, that's not the point. again, 3D printers aren't the point. I'm trying to stay away from that. I'm trying to talk about the scam. So the trick of this is like, okay, so what's the scam here? Because if you never get the printer, you just never go into AliExpress and say, okay, release the money, right? So yeah. The trick of it is, oh, I backed out. I'm like, okay, this is screaming scam, so I backed out. I didn't order my printer. But several other people did. And so one of them happened to write it up, and that's where this link I've thrown out for discussion comes up. He actually ordered like three of them, right?
And at that price, why not, right?
Oh, shit, right?
Like, but you said, spare parts, if anything.
Or, you know, it'd be like my Fulgertech kit, which the kit itself was okay, but with a couple of upgrades, it became fantastic. But that's neither here nor there. You know, it's like, okay, if it's got crappy parts, maybe I can get some decent parts down the road and, you know, soup them up and make them good. But no, about a week later, he gets an email, and the text of the email is from, you know, it's from the seller. It says, "Hi friend, because you chose courier suspended, we send you the goods by China Post air parcel. Give you cause delay, receive the package." I'm reading this verbatim. So it, you know, just imagine, you know, really, really bad, you know, Chinglish here. So we give you $15 in compensation. You may submit disputes. A partial refund of $15 agreement. We give you a refund in a timely manner. Thank you. So the trick for this is that AliExpress only allows one dispute per purchase, right? Whether for a partial or a full refund. The way their system is architected, if you dispute and the seller agrees to it, you know, for whatever amount of money, so, you know, whether it's a partial refund or a full refund, and the seller accepts the dispute, AliExpress releases the funds and calls the case closed. So if you accept the partial refund of $15...
part of the money that they're scamming you out of and just getting the difference.
You get 15 bucks refunded to you, and then they keep...
Yeah,
what did I say?
$60.
$70. They keep, right, you know, 50 bucks basically after all the processing fees. So you imagine you have enough people ordering this thing because they pounced on a 3D printer that cheap, and you know, yeah, okay, maybe only half of them fall for the scam. Still,
and I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
So. Further down the blog post, because he never disputed. He just wanted to see if they would ever actually ship him a printer. And he finally gets an email from AliExpress's support saying, "Your order has been frozen due to suspicious seller activity. We have suspended this seller's account because we detected unsafe trading practices." But here's the funniest part. Earlier today, I noticed on the same forum a new seller with the exact same fucking printer page posting a printer for $60.
Imagine
it's
that.
The exact same scam again.
Not only is it the same scam, it's probably the same people doing the scam. Because, I mean, they didn't change a thing.
And I can almost understand Alibaba getting a 3D printer down that cheap. Because the way that site works is they can put you in touch with actual bulk manufacturers in China. And then they'll design and build whatever type of motor or anything you want and sell it to you in bulk. And if you're purchasing enough of them, you can get motors down to a few cents a piece, especially if you're doing something for like a quadcopter.
Yeah, but good stepper motors, man. I mean, well, even crappy stepper motors, you never see them for the kind of, you know, any NEMA 17 stepper motors you need for a 3D printer, you need five of them. And, you know, the $60 they're asking for wouldn't cover the stepper motors.
Yeah.
Let alone the electronics, the hardware, you know, the
frame and all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the frame's acrylic, man. I mean, it's acrylic and screw rod. That's a couple of bucks max.
Right.
No.
But still.
It, you know, if you had everything but the stepper motors in there, you know, I could see the $60 to $70 price. But, maybe not ramps. A good ramps port, even from the Chinese manufacturers, is still, a ramps kit's still going to cost you $40. So, you know, even at rock bottom pricing, ordering off AliExpress, you know, there's just no way to get the components at that price. So, you know, of course, yeah, you're reading in the forum, people have the theory, well, maybe it's somebody has a warehouse full of the things and they're just trying to get rid of them, right? But
please.
Ali doesn't do warehousing, they do manufacturing.
Right, well,
it just goes back to the age-old truth. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is.
So, you know, and of course, this kind of scam is probably prevalent on a bunch of other sites. You know, there's AliExpress, Alibaba, eBay. eBay scams are notorious. Hell, Craigslist, right? So, you know, first thing is, just does it not smell right? And it didn't smell right. And even though I almost did it, you know, you kind of back out there and you're like, wait a minute, this can't be. So you start checking into it and then you find somebody's posted the link of here's where they pulled the page from. It's like, oh. It's like, yep, that's a that's somebody's cloning a store page. That's a nope. Hell, I even came on and showed you guys that seller, and we were sitting there clicking through the printers, like, oh man, look at the price on that one. But yeah, they were all just clones of other sellers' pages, and I imagine they're similar eBay scams. You know, yeah, you're right. If it seems too good to be true.
Yeah.
So, but oh, it's, well, an interesting read. Bad. It's an interesting write-up of an online scam.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you ever been on either side of one of these?
No, that's why I don't buy on the internet, man. I have zero trust in human beings.
And, yeah, I don't blame you.
And I know it's the kind of shit I'd try and pull. You know?
Well, I did ask if you'd ever been on either side of one of these scams.
Oh, yeah, I've been on one side.
That's one upside about the review process. The dude had no reviews, so you already knew he could be very sketchy.
It wouldn't take hard to, wouldn't be hard to write a couple of fake reviews of yourself.
Well, that's the weird bit. Normally, when somebody tries to set up a scam site, they'll spin up 10 or 15 accounts, and only, you know, all the other spin ups will rate the one. So that, you know, on eBay, at least, I'll have a 5-star rating. And you go look, and it's a 5-star rating from, you know, 3 accounts that
are a day old also.
Right.
That doesn't influence me either, is reading other people's opinions of it.
Yeah.
Because, once again, having been on one side of one of these scams, I'm not saying which side I was on, you just can't trust them. Because they're going to rip you off. They're going to lie about everything. Actually, it's pretty embarrassing for this guy not to have done that. So get your act together, buddy.
Yep. So, all right, let's dive on into it here. First story I have is from BGR.com. I don't even need to read it, really. But short version, the day after Adobe released their current patches for Adobe Flash, yeah, somebody released a zero day that's, you know, total code execution, jailbreak, You know, where's the security vulnerability? Now, critical vulnerability has been identified in Adobe Flash Player 19.00.207 and earlier versions for Windows, Mac, and Linux. Successful exploitation could cause a crash and potentially allow an attacker to take control of the affected system.
Jesus fuck. So,
the company went on to state it hopes to make an update available sometime next week in the critical security hole. Now, you know, everybody's panicking about this, but think about it. This hole has been there the entire time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
you know, ask a really stupid question.
Go right ahead.
Why have we not replaced Flash Player?
They're trying very, very hard.
Just curious.
Yeah, HTML5 has, for the most part, supplanted it, and a lot of the major sites are supporting it. But the reason they're supporting it is not because they want to ditch Flash. It's because they want work on cell phones, and there is not a current implementation of Flash for most cell phones.
Yeah.
I know you can get an old ass version and put it on Android, and it's a real pain in the ass, but you can still do it. There used to be a supported version when it was only a little bit out of date. It wasn't too big a deal, but nowadays, man, I don't know that I'd go through the trouble of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. The problem is until those vendors update their shit. Like, I have some tools at work that still use Flash. So whenever I have to use those tools, either I use a standalone workstation that has Flash and or Java installed on it, or I install it, I do what I need to do, and then I uninstall that shit just because there's no point in having it anymore.
Well, you can wrap it up in a virtual machine. That'll help.
Yeah, it's just such a pain in the ass still. I'll be very happy when it's gone.
So, damn it. I hate these auto-playing news sites that start playing video clips, but that's the article for this next one. But yeah, I mean, it'll be really nice when Flash finally goes away. And it will, because newer devices pretty much aren't supporting it. Desktop PCs are the only thing that really does anymore. And, you know, everybody wants to work on iPads. Everybody wants to work on Android tablets.
What do you think about Java? That's another one that, in my opinion, needs to die. So tired of Java.
Java is interesting because, as a programming language, it's very wordy. It's one of those things where, you know, when writing Hello World in Java requires about 5 times as much work as doing it in assembler.
There's something wrong with that.
But the thing with Java, though, is that, whereas, sure, trying to write short little things in it is kind of tedious and silly. I'm only mildly exaggerating on the assembler thing. You know, when you start getting into these huge involved projects, Java actually makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of business support out there for it. There's a lot of libraries. And all that frameworking you do to do the one line, you know, hello world, you do the same amount of frameworking to, you know, do 1,000 different things with that string. So, you know, once you get it set up in Java, sure, it's a bit wordy to do it. Its object-oriented nature makes it very, very handy for some very complex business logic, which is why you see a lot of businesses writing their applications in it.
Yeah.
I thought its major selling point originally was that it worked on multiple platforms, like it would work with Windows.
Well, it is cross-platform, but it's got the same freaking problems. Someone finds an O-day in it, and all right, it's time to update again. It's time to update again. 2 days fucking later, it's time to update again.
My point with Java, though, was not, you know, because you're asking very specifically about the Java plugin for a browser. Yes, that should go away. All of the interfaces should pretty much be in HTML5, AJAX, and JavaScript in this day and age. And, AJAX, JSON, XML communication between you and the server. That way it's all inspectable, it's all testable, and it's all verifiable. You know, it's all standards driven, so it doesn't even matter what browser you use, it would all work. You wouldn't need extra plugins, it would be fantastic. But Java is not just a browser-based application. You know, it has server-side applications, it has desktop applications. And generally, you know, they do a decent job of keeping it. Yeah, you patch it constantly, but they actually do a decent job of at least fixing shit. Most of the problems with Java come in the fact that you have some ancient business application that was hard-coded to Java 1.2.5. And so to run this application, which you have to do your job, you have to run this ancient version of Java, right?
Yep.
And so anything else you hit is then, you know, wide open.
And that's one of my biggest complaints is because we have one of those applications at work. We need Java 6 update 26.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, what the fuck?
Wow.
The ability that they could hard code it to that and where anything later than that, it's not backwards compatible is bullshit.
Well, that's the funny part is Java generally is backwards compatible. It's just whoever wrote the program pinned it to that version of Java for some reason.
Welcome to healthcare.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you got to judge things too because you have a lot of businesses that use Java applications on their servers, and the Java application is hosting web pages. So, you know, the client never sees any kind of a Java applet. They're just working in a web form, and it just, you know, happens to be Java on the back end that's doing all the processing instead of, say, Apache and PHP or, you know, Ruby or, yeah, any number of other server processing languages. Perl, hell, people still use Perl. But, good old CGI pages. So I guess my point with that is more that the client-side Java stuff, yeah, that's a problem. Server-side, because the problem with Java is actually the same problem with Flash, is that you're loading other people's code into your sandbox and you're hoping that the code plays nice. Right?
Right.
So if you're server-side and you need some specific version of Java to run the server application, I'm actually less concerned about that. That doesn't bother me as much because, you know, you've got to load your bad actor applet for any of these Java exploits to do anything, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you're on a server and you don't already have some level of access to that server, how are you going to induce it to load that code?
Right. Unless there's I don't know, like SQL injection or something like that you could do to say
right, and that's you know, at that point you have a multi-stage attack and you know it's a different game. So whereas out of date Java on the endpoints on your users, your clients, that bothers me. You know, your desktops. Out of date Java on the servers, I don't really lose any sleep over that. You want it to be moderately up to date, but and the only reason I make the point is because you've got to be able to gauge this stuff. Otherwise, you drive yourself insane trying to patch everything.
Right.
And you know, I don't like thinking of security as patch management. That's it's not. But you have management styles that they think of security as patch management. Period. So. No, there's a lot. You can have a perfectly patched update system, but if your password is 1234 and you're exposing VNC to the internet,
well, and it's configuration too. That's
exactly.
That's what I've been trying to actually impress on the other sysadmins at work. Also, is we really, because we have a lot of vendors and things like that. Someone will say, okay, we want to buy this application. Oh, it's easy. Stand up the server, vendor comes in, configures it, everything works. Well, that's great.
What's the first thing the vendor says? We don't support having a firewall in place.
Well,
you have a software firewall, you have to remove that.
Yeah.
Oh, we need this specific version of Windows 98, and we need to make sure it's vulnerable to MS-08 67, so...
Well, we've run into some of that, but we've also run into where they have no complaints. They just come in, they set their stuff up, and then they leave, and they're like, okay, it's in production now. See you later, guys. Well, I go back and I look, and there's open shares, you know, with no authentication, open to everyone that, you know, has database passwords into it, that has other credentials, other information and things like that you do not want exposed. So it's like I said, I've been trying to impress and make everyone understand is like we need to protect ourselves from these vendors that are coming
Holy
in and making
shit,
sure that they
shit,
aren't
shit,
fucking
shit,
idiots.
Don't care, installed, not my problem now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get a lot of that too.
The users don't give a shit about that, but thankfully I've at least got a good team of SAs to back me up, and they understand it, and we've been trying to work on that, but just
saying,
well, that shit's
out there.
You're not
well-liked at work, are you?
I wouldn't say that. They definitely come to me for any security conscious decisions and things like that, and usually we can talk through it. And
do they go, hey man, I want your advice, or they walk in and go, hey man, yeah, I need your advice?
No, the first one. It's not that bad. I'm not that
like,
much
hey,
of a dick.
Yeah, so I know you're gonna get upset, so just don't before we know there's a problem here. But,
could you put the Nerf gun
down,
please?
Yeah.
I was actually asked not to take those home. that's fine. I'll bring in something better. But, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, so we know you're going to get excited about this. It's not that big of a problem, but the database has no authentication on it, and we're trying to figure out why that is, and oh, my God, you know? Yeah, so I usually get are the questions of, so this might be an issue. We're not really sure, but we're pretty sure the world is on fire and people are pointing guns at our head. What do you think we should do about that? And then when I give them the answer, oh, gee, that sounds hard. So
I don't want to alarm you, but there's quite a lot of smoke coming from the server room. I don't know if it's going to be an issue, but just thought I'd bring it to your attention before something happened.
Let me type out a casual email here. Help. Fire. Help. that is an excellent screensaver. Anyways, let's see. Next story up is from USA Today. Dell has bought EMC. Now, Sard, I think you would probably know who EMC is. I doubt Madman or RU does.
I cringed a little when I saw this, and I'm... I'm waiting to see
EMC,
how it.
Sans?
We are an entire EMC shop, not just San, but we are an EMC shop. I deal with EMC shit every single day.
So
this is huge for us.
Are you? Do you know who EMC is as a company?
Some 80s electric band.
Sort of.
I have no idea.
They sell Sans. Basically, they're one of the original companies to come up with these large-scale storage installations for modern enterprises, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you want to buy a 30-terabyte storage solution for your company, and that would be small, by the way. EMC sells the disk space that the cloud runs on.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a very good way to put it.
We have the about 45 minutes away from here, we have the Apple iTunes cloud, like one of their nodes.
It lives on EMC as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've talked to our EMC rep. It is fucking awesome, and it all runs on EMC Isilon.
Well, there's two things here that concern me about this. Dell has a moderately decent track record when it comes to buying up these companies and managing them okay. I mean, better than some companies we could name. HP! Excuse me. I don't know where that came from. Yeah. They're not terrible at it, but they do like to rebrand everything the moment they buy it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
But,
have you ever heard of a company called Case?
Yeah, now it's Dell SecureWorks, isn't it?
I don't think it's Secure.
No,
Works.
SecureWorks
was
something else.
Yeah, it's they bought Case. They make a cool appliance. It's like a inventory computer.
Yeah, I was thinking InCase, which is the forensics tool.
No. But just inventory asset tracking, help desk software, patching, automation, things like that. Very cool product. Case originally owned it. It was really good. They had a thing called the Case Conference. And
oh, yeah, now it's
very
Dell,
cool, and now it's part of Dell World.
Management, yeah.
And their support went down the drain when they bought them, and yada, yada, yada. So that's my experience with Dell buying out other companies. Not very good, not very positive. Like I said, I'm I'm a little nervous, honestly.
Dell's bought little support companies and different technology companies, and they're not as bad as others. You know, HP's done far worse than Dell has when it comes to buying up companies and destroying products. Yeah. But EMC owns a lot of technology patents and technology rights, especially with regards to storage.
VMware.
Yeah, they own 80% of VMware.
Yeah.
That was going to be the second one, is that EMC owns VMware, and VMware owns a ton of patents. So I honestly have no idea what Dell's going to do with it. I mean, I know what Dell's going to do with EMC, but and I have an idea of what they're going to do with VMware. But
what
are they
going to
do with all this technology
about.
IP they just acquired?
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, they're not known for being a patent troll, though, so it might not be that terrible.
That's the thing. I honestly have no idea.
I just hope they own them under the Dell umbrella, but they leave them fuck alone and let them do business as usual. Because
you're going to be Dell EMC now, and you know, your manager's title is going to change around a bit.
Right, and if that's it, then okay, that's fine. As long as they don't go around fucking with who reps are and who owns what territory and where our support comes from and how all that shit's done. If they leave that alone, then fine.
And when it happened around here, because they bought up Pro Systems, it's been a few years ago now, they didn't do a lot of internal changes initially, at least. I think they got rid of some of the upper management, but as far as functional systems, I think they stayed most the same, at least for a while.
They did. They kept a lot of their functionaries, at least until contracts were up, and then they started reorging and integrating it better. But they did it gradually. They didn't go in and gut the company overnight or anything. So, next story up. So, you know, it's just one to keep an eye on. Next story up. Windows 10's start menu is now displaying ads, and I saw this on my laptop earlier today.
So. Nice. You actually have that shit turned on? Because when I installed Windows 10, that was some of the first shit I turned off.
I turned a lot of that stuff off. Updates are turning it back on.
Turning it back on, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked up, especially with metered internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Windows 10 is getting scary, which is... I'm going to start making a big push to get everything over to as much Linux as possible. We were talking about it yesterday. I'm even thinking about putting together a YouTube series of, okay, here's how you switch to Linux. Here's how you do what you want. This is not a basics tutorial. This is not a computing tutorial. This is how you, you know, get out of Windows, because Windows ecosystem is getting scary.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sarg.
Did you have the story also about how Windows 7 was automatically updating to Windows 10 via Windows Update?
Yeah, that's the next one.
Okay.
I was just going to roll from this one straight into the next one.
All right, I'll leave it at that then.
Yeah, I need to... We're not doing show notes anymore. Quit looking ahead.
How do they determine what ads to show you? And
it's suggested.
How do I ad block my fucking kernel?
Turn it off. And it's just, I noticed it got turned back on my laptop, and I'm assuming up did it. So
they're going to start doing the Facebook thing. Just automatically turn everything fucking back on every time you get a Windows update. And hi, here's your advertisement for Lee's and porn right on your start menu.
It's not going to be, porn. What it is, it's ads for apps in the Microsoft App Store. You know, it's quote-unquote suggested apps. We're not sure who's making the suggestions, but they're suggested apps. So unless they allow porn ads in the App Store, in which case I guess you might get ads for porn.
I think there's going to be hentai games in their App Store, and I already know how they decide who's favored. It's whoever's giving them money. It's the same way with any other ad campaign. They're paying for me to show you something.
Pretty much.
Now, the question is, how picky are they going to be on whose money they accept? But I'm thinking Microsoft's just going to take whoever's handing the money and throw an ad on your tool.
No, I don't think they're going to go quite that bad. I think they're going to have some control over it, because can you imagine the lawsuit if you went into work one day and they're staring at you, you know, was, you know, big old bouncing pair of tits on your start menu saying go buy Super Hentai 10,000 or whatever the hell.
I think when it comes to work windows, they might not show ads or at least be picky, but they have a few different branches of Windows. I think the just generic home user, you're going to get
fucking
pop-ups.
And how many people bought the $200 HP laptop or the equivalents, because there's tons of them now, you know, little $200 Windows 10 laptops for the kids?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's you want to talk class action lawsuit. Is if Microsoft starts pushing explicit material to computers that are operated by minors or potentially operated by minors, there's a hell of a lawsuit.
That's a good point. My next question, is that enough to finally get the layman to change operating systems? Would that be the death knell?
You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to make a real effort at it. I'm going to try to put together some videos and be like, okay, here's how to do it. And
I'm just, what is it going to take?
My current rig is Windows, so I need to do it myself. But
what is it going to take? Who's going to be Windows' successor? You know,
the problem is not that anybody wants to be on Windows. It's what comes on the computer. Or,
right.
In my case, you have a piece of hardware or a piece of software that is not reliable in Linux or other systems. And you got to either use virtualization or you have to, you know, use Wine or something else to get it to work, or you just do without. And you'll have people who are not willing to do without, you know, Photoshop, to use the classic example, right?
Right.
And, you know, if you need a particular application for your job, for example, you might have a legitimate point in saying, I can't run Linux, I have to use these, you know, specific applications, and they don't virtualize and they don't run in Wine, because they're, you know, there are apps like that, specifically ones that usually access the lower level of the hardware to do hardcore rendering or something. So
right.
One of the reasons why gaming is touchy, but
I don't know. I'm just, like I said, it's getting scarier and scarier, and everyone knows it. Everyone accepts it and says, yep, that's scary. I don't want my operating system doing that to me.
Well, that's
it's
not
got
the part
to come
that
to
scares
a point.
Me. The part that scares me is the people who say, well, I've got nothing to hide. I don't care if they spy on me.
Yeah, that's worse.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with whether or not you have anything to hide. It's that they're spying on you.
And to be fair, most of the spying they're doing on Windows is to run their Cortana thing. I still see that, though. The problem is not that I think Microsoft is going to do anything with the data. I think Microsoft is going to get hacked, and then that person's going to do something with the data.
Yeah.
It's not just Microsoft you have to worry about. Or do you think Microsoft is going to argue when the NSA shows up and says, hi, I want your data?
No. But I made the plea at work, because our help desk manager was really wanting to go to Windows 10 because they reduced the SKUs and it would give him, you know, some more features in some of the machines for free. It's like, oh, we got to do this. It's going to be free. We'll get everybody up on Windows 10. And it's like, no. All this telemetry. We handle very sensitive data where I work on a regular basis. And it's not data that I want cached and sent up to Microsoft servers. I don't care if it's in the clear and anonymized or not. That is data leaving my company's control, and that violates tons of laws.
You worry too much, Morps. It's not like anyone's ever really been hacked. It's not like anyone's information's never really been abused.
My nose.
And the industry he's in is kind of highly regulated, especially when it comes to data.
Hey, you got nothing to hide. Your customers got nothing on. What are you worried about?
The felonies that are being committed because Microsoft decided to cache file A, and they're not authorized to cache that.
Huh. Try and prosecute
so that's what a blood...
them, that's all I say.
So that's what a blood splatter on the desk looks like. Ah, shit.
Does anyone know a good plastic surgeon? Morps is going to need a new nose.
No, but I'll have a crack at it.
In my industry, if Microsoft were to back up some of the shit I look at, and I look at fairly innocuous shit, it's still a violation of the Patriot Act. They can be charged as terrorists now.
So, you know, oh, by the way, so let's jump to the story here that Sard wanted to go to. For some users, Windows 10 is apparently mandatory.
Not this year.
What?
Bullshit. It shows up as a Windows update. So if you aren't paying attention, just click next, next, next on Windows update, or have it install that shit automatically. You'll turn your computer on the next day and you'll have Windows 10.
So, but that's not only that, but apparently they're starting to get countdowns of updates starting in, you know, however much time. And the thing is, there's not a opt-out button on there. It's either reschedule or start now.
Bullshit.
Well, they've got a picture here on the page, and it doesn't look Photoshopped. I mean, I suppose it could be.
Yeah. That's
you want to see how long I can reschedule for?
What's even worse than that is a lot of the telemetry stuff is being backported. So even
yes,
the shit that I don't want because of I don't want Windows 10 4, Windows 7's going to have it. Windows 8's going to have it.
Well,
it's just
even
gonna
better
be,
than
here's
that.
Here's your fucking shit. We're raping you right now.
They re-released the telemetry updates under different knowledge base numbers because people were blocking so many of the original ones.
I say again, how much is enough?
I see a lot of reinstalling in my future. A lot of reinstalling.
Hey, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna try to put together something to just like, okay, here's how to go to Linux and do what you want to do.
I think Steam's gonna help out at that, at least in why I'm on
is.
Windows. Because if games just work on Linux, they can pick a distribution. That will be my new home.
Yeah.
And I will
Same
be
here.
Happy.
Same here. The second... The problem is, though, it always seems like the games, especially in this group that we play together, there's no Linux version of Payday. You know? There's,
it runs
there's
in
no
Wine
Linux...
Fine, although Payday is not really...
well, we're not talking about that today. We're not...
But I can tell you from personal experience, Payday runs fine in Wine.
Okay, I haven't tried that. I guess it's, I've never had any good luck with Wine, so I've kind of given up on it, but
well,
maybe a lot of that will work
was,
better.
It was rough, but over the last couple of years, it's gotten a lot better.
That's good.
Ever since people started really ramping up Wine as the you know as the way to run World of Warcraft, the resources that went into it suddenly, I mean, it did a complete 180
yeah.
You know, around the time World of Warcraft came out, and it's been doing... getting just ramping ever since to the point that they're I mean you know it's DirectX 9 compatible and down runs fine from what
nice.
I understand for the most part you'll hit stuff that doesn't but you have projects like Play on Linux that automate a lot of the tuning you have to do for a lot of the more popular projects
right does Office
so,
work on it well yet yeah. Because last
you know,
time I tried it, I was trying to get Outlook to work on it, and it was not happening.
I can't say I've ever actually tried to run Office under Wine, because OpenOffice and Epiphany have always worked fine for me.
Okay.
So.
Kind of sad that we can give something good to WoW. It ate so much of my life, and now we can thank it for something.
So, continuing along the line of companies deciding that, no, we own you. Conglomo. This next one up is the Windows 10 thing may have been user error. I'm looking at my my broadcast box here, which I know I can redo it in Linux. The Windows 10 thing has popped up again, but it's not doing the forced countdown or anything. It's still asking me to hit the button to get it, and I can still close it. So.
Yeah, I get that on startup every morning.
Yeah. It's so annoying, but that's about it.
Yeah, I just click it away. Fuck it.
It's not something
to do
with countdown. I think what's happened is a lot of people have accidentally clicked anything other than the little X in there.
Yeah, don't click anything else but the little X. Don't even like... Yeah.
You know, I remember other software that used to do that, where if you clicked anything other than, you know, Alt-F4-ing the box to go away... it wouldn't start installing shit on your computer. It was called drive-by malware. And, you know, fake antiviruses. Everybody remember, you know, Antivirus 360 or...
Oh, yeah.
You know, shit like that. you know, where it would pop up the box on your machine, and you know, it didn't matter what you hit unless you Alt-F4'd it away. It would start installing their shit on your machine. Yep, Microsoft has actually taken that tactic now.
Bullshit, man.
They're just working on killing their user base.
Hoping people don't notice. But
or don't
so
care.
This next story is from InfoWorld. Comcast is getting a little overzealous. Comcast and other ISPs are experimenting with data caps and are injecting JavaScript code into their customers' data streams in order to display overlays on web pages to inform them of their data cap thresholds and inject ads.
God damn it. Fuck you.
So they're gonna cap my data, and then they're gonna eat my data with their fucking ads.
And there's no
opt-out. Not only that, your fucking operating system is going to be displaying ads to you, and your ISP is going to be displaying ads to you. It's bullshit.
So, here's your 4 gig limit. Oh yeah, and here's the 1 gig of ads from your ISP towards your fucking limit. Go die in a fire.
So, let's see, I'm pissing off Madman and Sard tonight, and are you? I think I'm just making depressed.
I'm just sitting here going, I've got to find a better hobby than computing. This is starting to get out of control. Maybe mass murder or something.
We can plan on this. Comcast corporate headquarters is like a weekend driving trip from here. We can get some bags of, you know, fertilizer and diesel fuel and go on a road trip.
You know, the ratios on most websites for that are wrong. Anyways,
I've got farmers around here. They'll let me experiment till I get it right.
Madman, you blew up my cow.
Just one?
It was awesome.
It was fucking awesome. I've got $3,000 set aside to blow up a fucking cow.
Wow.
I remember playing Red Alert 2, and Crazy Ivan could do that. He could wire up cows to explode. It was the funniest thing. Nobody else did that in Red Alert 2?
I'm going to start down with goats. They're cheaper. I've already gotten price ranks on those last time I threatened to shoot livestock. Dude, it happened.
How drunk do you have to get to start abusing livestock?
It wasn't abusing. I was going to shoot it.
You ugly looking cow. Fuck. Oh, hang on. That's a goat. I'm going to shoot you, goat.
I didn't confuse what it was. I was deer hunting and I didn't see a fucking deer. So I walked up to the farmer's like, if I don't see a deer tomorrow, how much if I shoot one of your cows? Because I saw some cows.
Wow.
And he shot me a price and I couldn't afford a cow. And I knew he had some goats. So I was like, okay, what if I shoot a goat?
So are you at least he's getting the angry drunk where he wanted to shoot something as opposed to the horny drunk where he wanted to make out with the goat?
Probably afford it then.
Yeah, goats are cheap, dude. That's why people fuck them and shoot them. They're cheap.
You go over to Madman's house. Madman, why does that goat have eyeliner and cheap mascara and blush on?
I wanted Hillary Clinton. Couldn't get the real thing.
I have to take a baseball bat to it a couple more times to get the lip shape right.
Oh, God. Well, speaking of Hillary Clinton, it has been disclosed. In the further work they've been doing on her email servers, that according to the State Department, someone, presumably her sysadmin, enabled RDP and VNC and exposed both ports to the internet.
Nice.
I can VNC into her email server.
So, you know, it's not that uncommon to have remote access tools on a server, but usually you lock them up behind a VPN or, you know, some kind of a barrier, like a firewall or something. Or
something,
at least change the,
anything.
Change the ports.
Yeah.
You can to be fair, you can actually do a fairly decent job of locking down RDP.
I was just going to say,
cannot,
yeah.
do that to VNC, to my knowledge.
No,
VNC is a bit out of date and really should not be used on the internet.
Not at all, in my opinion. I was going to argue the same thing. RDP is fine.
So what had happened is scans of the server that identified itself as ClintonMail.com in August and December of 2012 showed open ports for RDP and VNC. And, of course, at around the same time, Microsoft warned that RDP was likely to be attacked, and Verizon warned that RDP's default port of 3389 was among the most scanned on the internet. They didn't say where the scan came from. If I had to guess, it'd probably be Shodan, because they keep those kind of records, and they scan the internet constantly.
Right.
But, oh, no, it's from the Internet Census. Okay, cool. Yeah. I should read these articles a little bit more closely before I decide, okay, that's good for decking and go on for the next one. Yeah, so apparently it was from the Internet Census. And for anybody who doesn't remember the Internet Census, because I actually remember talking about it on this show, back in 2012, somebody put together a botnet of mostly routers and just scanned the internet and then released everything from the scans. And they happened to, you know, somebody went back to that, found Clinton email in it, and went, oh, look, RDP and VNC were open.
Yeah. That's one way of doing
shit.
It.
Oops.
Yeah, well, I want to bet the password was something like, you know, ABC123 or QWERTYUOP or 1Q2W3E4R5T. If anybody doesn't understand where I'm getting these passwords, look at your keyboard.
I know.
Stop giving away my work passwords over the internet.
It's the same password on my luggage.
I was just going to say, you know, the last or couple peer deckings ago, I was talking about that password cracking stuff that I've been messing with.
Yeah.
I just got to say, the RockYou word list and OCL hashcat rules are fucking awesome. I was
congratulations
amazed
on finding some of the best tools for the job, man.
I was fucking amazed, dude.
What percentage of your target would you say you got?
75.
Nice. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this. Yo! Hadouken! So, the first thing up I have here is a really cool write-up from dfurblog.wordpress.com. And pretty much it's a very nice write-up of how to go into a Windows Server setup, configure group policy, and set up centralized logging. And you might think that that's not very exciting, and truthfully it's not. But when you have to do forensics on a network or at least figure out what the fuck is going on, it is the best tool. So having your logs set up properly ahead of time saves you so much headache, it's not even funny. And they've got a good write-up on here of forwarding the logs to a centralized server, a couple of different tools you can use. You know, he specifically is mentioning Logly, NXLog, Snare, and Greylog.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about that is it would be really nice if they showed using like built-in Windows logging and what you can do with that, because then you could push that out with group policy and
everywhere. He's mentioning these as log aggregation tools. If you keep going, he talks about configuring the group policy for log retention, configuring what to log, policies you want to turn on, what events you want to track.
Nice.
You know what it's going to look like, and it even talks about how you want to change the default retention, because by default it's like 20 meg or something like that on Windows servers. So, you know, even into the firewall. So he's got it all in here.
Nice.
It's a really nice write up.
Huh.
So, yeah, hell, I'm probably going to go back and compare some of my stuff at work to it and see if hell, it even talks about PowerShell.
Too. That's cool.
It's a very handy reference on logging. And then finally, I have some Iron Geek videos from GurrCon 2015. Specifically, he had a video in here. What was I looking for? Yeah, The Hitchhiker's Guide to Information Security, if that's the video I'm thinking it is a very, very good video. I also had some other things in here that I thought would be handy at work, so I want to make sure I didn't lose the link. Thus, on Pure Decking it went.
Cool.
And that, yeah, I know we kind of blazed through it, but that's really all I've got tonight.
Those are definitely handy ones to look at, especially for the enterprise.
So yeah, I'm serious. I'm going to start trying to push and help people get off Windows because it's getting stupid.
Very cool. What which of these Gurkhan videos are you mainly interested in?
Honestly, backdooring Git and adding security to your Scrum environment, and there was a phishing video in here that I thought my boss would get a kick out of.
Cool. Okay.
There's a couple of others in here that looked interesting. Hacking baby monitors I thought looked funny. There was another one I saw in here.
Still scripting live Linux forensics. That sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, saw that. Huh. And there was another video in here when I was scrolling through it earlier. Maybe I'm thinking of another list.
Hearing today's Enterprise WAN. That's another. No, I'll have to look at these.
Oh, weakest links on your critical infrastructure and wireless intrusion detection systems with Raspi. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, these are good things to have going at work, playing in the background, just listen to.
Yep.
Looks good.
All right, that's all I got. Madman, you got anything?
No.
Cool. Anybody else?
I don't know. As far as OSs go, is Apple just as crappy, or is it just Windows setting a new low?
Windows is setting a new low, but it's not the first time they've tried. Apple is interesting because their desktop OS, Mac OS X, they're tying it into their app store, but you can go turn it all off, and it stays off. iOS, on the other hand, is doing a lot of the same style of things. You know, it's not quite as aggressive with the monitoring everything that you do like Windows is. But yeah, anything you say into Siri is going off into the cloud. And they really push their iCloud service to automatically back up, you know, your phone and a bunch of other stuff up to the cloud. But you can at least turn it all off, and it mostly stays off. Every time you do an iOS upgrade, when you do the major upgrades, like when I went from 8 to 9 on my phone, it started trying to turn all the iCloud stuff back on. But, you know, it didn't do that on the minor releases, just the big ones. So, I have a feeling at some point they'll make their iCloud stuff mandatory. Sort of like how Windows has made their, OneDrive? Yeah. OneDrive is pretty mandatory now. And you can turn it off, but it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I was going to say, I turned all that off. I mean, it's definitely baked into Windows 10 more, but I've been able to get around it.
Yeah, but I'm going to minimize.
You just said you were able to get around it like it's a good thing. You had to get around something that you paid for.
Yeah, that's true. Paid for? I didn't pay for shit.
Paid for.
But...
paid for. No. We saw it. Come on. Paid
well,
for.
Well, you're going to start seeing the rise of hacked copies of Windows again, sort of like the old XP days. And that's going to be a problem because you're going to start seeing botnets and shit start rising out of this stuff like we used to see.
I don't think that ever actually stopped. I mean, you look at any major torrenting site, type in Windows 7 or, you know, Windows Server 2012 or anything like that, you'll have, you know, fucking murder clock 420s, you know, uber optimized Windows
Please
Server
tell
2012
me you actually
version.
Went to, you know, one of the torrent search engines and murder clock 2040 was an actual, because that is an
that.
Awesome screen name. Whoever's
right off the
clock
top of my head,
name.
Man. That's, off the top of my head, you can
start,
use
you,
that
you
if you want.
You need to change your online handle. You need to start using Murder Clock.
All right, Murder Clock 420. That's my new name, everybody.
Wow, I couldn't think of a less appropriate name for you. next thing you're gonna tell me, you've joined the Juggalos and are cutting yourself.
Well, now that that you mention it.
I have suddenly had a wild interest in face painting lately. It's odd that you mentioned that.
Yeah, but it was only at children's parties.
No, that's where he was practicing the donut head thing.
On another note, sea cleaner is your friend. Use often. I learned my lesson.
Yeah, you got to do hygiene.
Somebody else beat me out in hygiene. I'm not outing him on the show, but I'll tell you about it later.
Really?
Yeah, and they beat me by 3 times the amount that I recovered.
Damn. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap.